chapter 1, verse 16. I don't know how much of this verse we're going to really tear apart, but it's a good kickoff point. If you take notes, I've entitled it Illegal Spiritual Immigration. Illegal Spiritual Immigration. That seems to be a hot topic in America today. And so for the past week, the Lord has been moving my heart towards that, and I've tried to get around giving a message on it because it's a difficult message to give. It's a difficult message to keep the context of Scripture in line when you're talking about this. But the Holy Spirit would not relent. So every time I tried to move around, I always came back to this. So I said, okay, Lord, in obedience to you, we'll do it, but only if you preach it. So let's pray and ask him to do the preaching. Father, we do thank you for your word on everything. And Holy Spirit, you know I struggled with you about this. And so now I give you the opportunity, Lord, to speak directly to your people on this subject. And I pray, God, that you would walk amongst us. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, I do pray, God, that today would be the day of their salvation. We ask it for your glory and our good, and in Christ's name, amen. Illegal spiritual immigration. Our text is a biblical definition of an illegal spiritual immigrant. It defines their spiritual nature, and it defines their ability. Now, you guys in the back, don't keep laughing. Except for you. And it's fair to say, I believe, that illegal spiritual immigration has been going on since the fall in Eden. I know that people in our country said that it's been a bone of contention for 10 or so years or more. But in the spiritual realm, illegal immigration has been going on since the fall. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and to see that, we'll go back. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created the world, and he created everything in it. And on the sixth day, he crowned his creation by creating man. And in Genesis 1:31, the sovereign creator testifies, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Now, that means it was perfect. There was nothing out of line. There was no death. There was no taxes. There were no earthquakes. Everything was perfect. In Genesis 1:31, he said it was perfect. But then there came a time when Genesis 1 and 2 was over. And by the way, there was no time in Genesis 1 and 2. Man was created to be an immortal creature. There was no need for time. There was no birthdays. There was no death dates. But in Genesis 3, everything changed, didn't it? When Satan, Adam, and Eve committed the crime of high treason against the sovereign God, the Supreme Court was immediately convened in Eden. Sitting on the bench was the omniscient sovereign judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. The offenders stood before him, and all three were pronounced guilty of high treason. And they were immediately sentenced. There was no appeal. There was no looking into the case. There was no looking for legal errors, because the sovereign God knew everything exactly as it really was. And the defendants knew that he knew, and they knew. In Genesis 3:15, the ringleader, Satan, he was sentenced. He was sentenced, first of all, to fight a generational war that he would lose. A generational war that would start in Genesis 4 and go all the way to this present day and up until the judgment day, and he will lose the battle. He would lose the war. He'd win a few battles, but he'd lose the war. That was part of his sentence. And in addition to that, he was sentenced to eternal death. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity, and that word means hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed, the unsaved, and her seeds, God's elect. He shall bruise your head. That's the lake of fire. Any bruise to the head, it gives the inference of death. And you shall bruise his heel. That is, Christ will be crucified, but he will resurrect. Then, in Genesis 3:16, the woman was sentenced for her part in that crime. She was sentenced to suffering and submission to her husband. He says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be your husband, and he shall rule over you. That was her sentence. And in Genesis 17 through 19, for his crime, Adam was sentenced to 930 years of hard labor and physical death. And to make sure, and in addition to that, the federal head, Adam, of all mankind, was stripped. He was stripped of his heavenly citizenship, and he was deported from Eden into a cursed world. And to make sure that these outcasts would never return to paradise, the supreme judge stationed a cherub, an angel, a powerful angel, as a border guard with a flaming sword at the gate to keep them out. Moses testifies to that truth in Genesis 3:24. He drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. That's how God dealt with just one sin. Just one sin. That should give you an idea of just how much God hates sin. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And from that time, that sentence was pronounced, and the outcasts were deported from paradise to a cursed world. Every single human being that's come into this world, minus one, Jesus Christ, minus him, have all been immigrants. Now, for the record, I would also point out that Eden no longer exists. It's not here anymore. Now, some believe that there's a place called the Fertile Crescent. It's a quarter moon-shaped area of land from southern Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, and northern Egypt. And in there, some believe that's where the Garden of Eden was. Now, that may or may not be true. I just gave that to you. But the fact is, the Garden of Eden isn't there anymore, if it was. It's gone. And regardless of what commercials say about the Caribbean paradise or Hawaiian paradise or the Polynesian paradise, the Garden of Eden is gone forever. Period. Which means there are no physical borders that immigrants can cross. See, I told you it was tough. There's no physical borders. Now the border of paradise, Paul tells us, is the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise. That means illegal immigrants can't reach or cross that border even with the space shuttle because it's beyond our universe. However, that being said, there is a spiritual border that billions of illegal spiritual immigrants attempt to cross every single day. And that spiritual border, and that's the spiritual border that surrounds the throne room of God and His grace. Since the time of Cain, illegal immigrants have tried to cross the border into God's throne room, seeking His grace. In Cain's case, he brought God an offering that he wanted. It wasn't the offering that God wanted. So he didn't make it across the border, and he didn't receive any grace at all. Genesis 4, 3 and 5 records that. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel's offering, but he did not respect or accept Cain and his offering. There was a distinction. They both knew what they needed to do. One did what they were supposed to do, and one didn't. And from that day to this very moment, crusaders, caravans, and churches attempt to illegally cross the border to enter into the throne room of God and enter into His grace. To this very day, that operation is still going on. Now that brings me to our text. Paul writes, "They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." This verse is speaking about unsaved believers. These are people in the church who believe that they're worshiping God, that they're in God's favor, they're in His grace. People who profess to be disciples of Christ, but their lives aren't governed by biblical principles. And that's the difference between an unsaved believer and a believer. A believer's life is governed by the principles of Scriptures. And their minds and hearts of these people, Paul was writing about, they aren't bound to Christ. Prophet Isaiah describes the illegal immigrants this way: "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." Isaiah 29:13. That's the people Paul is talking about or telling Titus about. And I would also have you know that these illegal immigrants use a variety of different vehicles in their attempt to cross the spiritual border to God. They use a ton of different vehicles, and I'm only going to mention a few of them. There's over a billion people at the church at Rome who try to cross the spiritual border with vehicles that God forbids. He says, don't use them. They worship idols. The sin list in Galatians 5:20 includes idolatry, and verse 21 promises those who practice idolatry are never going to get across the border. He says, I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet every day, billions of people commit idolatry. And I have, because I did it once, I must admit, when I was a young person. In speaking to people who do it now, I ask them if they understand what they're doing, and they don't think that they're praying to that idol, but they are. They're kneeling before it, and they're praying, they're saying something to it, which is a prayer. And it's strictly forbidden throughout Scripture. Another thing that they do is they practice necromancy, praying to the dead. In Deuteronomy 18:11, God commands, there shall not be found among you one who conjures spells or a medium or a wizard or one who calls up the dead. And yet, a billion people use that vehicle to try to reach heaven every day. And in verse 12 tells us why that spiritual vehicle will never enter the kingdom of glory. Why praying to the dead will never get you near God. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Now, one of the things I had to do when I prepared this message was I had to make sure that it was God speaking and not me. And the context of it has to be correct as well. Nobody who practices necromancy will enter the kingdom of God. And one more vehicle these illegal immigrants like to use is an attempt to cross over into the promised land with transubstantiation. That is the daily re-sacrificing of Christ. When the wafer is raised, in that moment, a spiritual transaction takes place in their mind that wafer is now the literal body of Christ, and of course the chalice and wine is the literal blood of Christ. God tells you, this vehicle has no chance of crossing the border to God's throne room because it's in direct violation of his word. It violates God's word. In Hebrews chapter 10, we are told three times that Christ was sacrificed once for all his people's sins. One time. Hebrews 10:14 is one of the verses that declares, for by a single offering he was perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That's God's elect. One time. So if you're traveling, trying to get to the border of God, getting into the throne room, receiving grace, and you're traveling in that vehicle, and that you are in the process of re-sacrificing him, then you're in direct violation of what God says his son did. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, there was no addendum to that said it's finished until this happens and the church decides that they're going to do it to me every day. That isn't what it says. It is finished meant the sacrifice for all of God's elect people's sins were paid for in one shot. Now, you got to remember something. The reason it took the blood of Christ to do it was because every sin that we commit is a sin against a divine being. It's an eternal sin. No sacrifice could ever pay for that. It took God's blood in Christ to pay for it. Now, some people say he was only on the cross and the sin was put on his back for 3 hours. But what they fail to understand is that blood is so efficacious. It is so powerful. One drop of it was enough because it was eternal blood that he had. And it paid for everybody's sin at one time. And yet, there are a billion people who try to enter the kingdom, the borders of heaven, in a vehicle that God says isn't fit for the road. And I would be remiss if I didn't also point out that it's just not the church at Rome. Much of mainstream Protestantism is filled with illegal spiritual immigrants that are trying to use vehicles that they'll never get to the border, across the border with. They'll never make it. Some Protestant caravans, they use vehicles like liberalism, humanism, and heresy to cross the spiritual border into God's throne room. And that contradicts God's word. By teaching that same gender marriage is okay. They say that it's okay. Abortion, it's okay, it's a right. They teach that it's not a sin. Deuteronomy 5:17 gives the command, thou shalt not kill. That's pretty simple. They teach traditions that supplant or replace God's word. That's a lie when they do it. They're teaching a lie. Colossians 2:8 warns against trusting in men's traditions. Beware, Paul writes, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And by the way, when I talked about same-gender marriage, that's a lie too. God's word contradicts God's word. Romans 1, 26 and 27 declares that that's a lie. And one more vehicle Protestants like to use in attempting to cross the spiritual border of glory, and it's a common one, it's good works. Well, the Lord of glory tells us what he thinks of man's good works in Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, which simply means there is not anything in this world that we can do that pleases God outside of Christ. Nothing. There is nothing about us that is attractive to God in our natural state. And no matter which of those vehicles we go in, we're not making it across the border. All of the various vehicles men employ to illegally cross the spiritual border of heaven fail. And they fail because that border is guarded by a wall. It's called the will of God. And that wall is higher than anybody can climb. It's stronger than anything on earth. And nothing can penetrate that wall. Nothing. God's will. Now we have to understand something. If there is one God, and I say this and move before I move on, if there is one God and only one truth, not everybody's going to get it right. And the only way you could tell if you have it right is if you forget about how many people are in a place. If you forget about how nice the building is or what programs they have, if you forget about all of that, if you forget about trying to fill the pews, if you forget about all of that, then all that you're left with is God's word. And that word makes it abundantly clear above all things that anybody who tries to get into glory can only do it one way, and that is with the blood of Christ, which means that you have to have a personal relationship with Christ. And with that relationship with Christ, you get a vehicle, and I'm going to show you that right now. You get a vehicle that'll take you to that. It'll go beyond the border. It goes beyond the border. Let me tell you about the legal spiritual immigrants that make it into Beulah land. I love that word. To begin with, there is a population of people who were predestined before the worlds were formed to cross the spiritual border into glory. They were predestined. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 reveals that absolute truth. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, God the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Jesus, he made us accepted in Christ. And Jesus reminds us that many are called, but few are chosen. He reminds us of that in Matthew 22, 14. And in addition to the invitation that you must have to come across the border, our Savior provides us with all the spiritual necessities we need to make that journey. You know, crossing the border into heaven requires that you be prepared for it. And God gives us everything we need. Ezekiel 36, 27 says he gives us a new heart. And he says, I will cause you to walk in my commandments. He gives us the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. He gives us the Holy Spirit of grace, 2 Corinthians 1:22. He gives us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. He gives us all the power we need, Luke 10:19. He gives us faith to believe it, Ephesians 2:8. He gives us a spiritual passport, that unlocks the gate of heaven and the grace of God. And that passport reads very simple. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's your passport. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you need to have that to cross the border. And every single spiritual migrant that comes to that border with that passport will be welcomed in without question. And they'll cross the border of the kingdom of heaven. And you see, beloved, there's only one way to do it. In all of Scripture, understand this, there's only one way that you can ever cross the border into heaven. You have to do it God's way. I would ask you, in your leisure this afternoon, if you have some, or the next time you open your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 1 and read, I guess it's starting in verse 10 or 11, read how God feels about when his own people don't do what he wants them to do. He rejects them. We need to understand, if your religion is about a building, about friendship, if it's about programs, if it's about crowds, if it's about anything except the truth, you're really wasting your time on a Sunday morning. You'd be much better off mowing your neighbor's lawn or shoveling a little snow. You get more benefit out of it. Because nobody's going to cross the border into heaven without the right vehicle, the invitation, and a passport. You need all three. In closing, let me ask you, right now, those of you listening, what type of spiritual immigrant are you? We're all born immigrants from heaven. We're separated because of sin. Are you an illegal spiritual migrant? Or are you a legal spiritual migrant? If you're using a vehicle that's not running on God's word, if you don't have that kind of octane in your vehicle, you're not gonna make it. And if you don't have the proper passport, you have no chance of getting over the border. And Jesus makes that quite clear in our opening text. John 14:6, what we read before. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If that's you, but God is using this message and calling you and inviting you to come over the border, you see me or call me after the service and I'll show you in his word how he wants to give you everything you need to get across that border, and you can go across that border every moment, every hour, every day, for the rest of your life here. He wants you to do that. And for those of you who are legal spiritual immigrants, life is great, isn't it? Even when it's not, it's great. I was talking to my brother David the other day, and he wanted me to order something for him online, and I did. And I called him back, I guess it was the next day or the day after he asked me, and I told him I got it and have it next week. And Brother David said to me, well, he says, I like you. He says, you're like President Trump. You get things done. And I told him, I said, no, I'm different than Trump. And the reason I'm different from Trump is that I'm richer than Trump. And so is every legal spiritual immigrant that has crossed the border of glory and entered into his kingdom. You're all wealthier than President Trump because of what you have in Christ. And so, I want you to go home this morning, beloved. Not because you're richer than, and rejoice, not because you're richer than Donald Trump. I want you to rejoice because now, the Bible says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, migrants. but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Ephesians 2:19. And just as importantly, each and every one of you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. Father, it's humbling when you've been saved a while. It's humbling to see where you were and how far you've come once Christ is in you and you are in Christ. And so, Lord, I do pray for those listening that if they are attempting to reach you or cross the border to you, Lord, and they're not doing it the right way, I pray, God, that you would prick their hearts with this message. I pray, Lord, you would remind them there is one God and one truth, and that the only truth is the absolute truth of your word. And Father, pray that for those of us that are legal immigrants, we thank you for the wonderful gift of life we have and the wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. And we ask you, Lord, to let us leave here rejoicing because we have entered the kingdom of heaven through Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is...